that we can worship. And God, on a day like Mother's Day, we can talk about the importance of motherhood and parenting, and really just encourage moms in the battle to raise godly kids, because our culture does everything to undermine that. So God, I pray that you'd be with us, that you would help us. And as we look at some of the principles in Scripture, that it would just encourage and help our hearts grow. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm taking a break from the David series, and you guys will appreciate this. I'm going to tell you why I'm taking a break from the David series. The next part of David's life is his journey with Absalom. Well, Absalom rebels against his dad. I didn't think that was the greatest message for Mother's Day. What do you guys think? So I thought, instead of doing this, let's talk about some of the principles around parenting and mothering kids, parenting kids into a godly inheritance. Now, how many of you guys have a really great story? Like, if you were to sit down and tell your story to somebody else, it's a great story, like something about God's redemption. Okay, how about this? How many of you guys have your story and you think it's great, but somebody else might not think it? No, I'm playing. No. But listen, we all have a story. Listen, sometimes our story, it ties into our culture. It ties into our ethnicity. Sometimes it ties into our faith. Like, one of my absolute favorite stories, actually, my wife is one of my favorite stories, believe it or not, because she grew up with a godly inheritance, and she never did all the stupid stuff I did. Like, I got bad stories. I got stories that compare to your stories. You get what I'm saying? I did really stupid things. But my wife's story is this. I grew up with a godly mom who raised me with godly values, and I had my moments where I went left and right, but I've always walked with God. I'm like, whoo, that's powerful. Because so many people, listen, especially today, don't have that story. Most of them are like, whoo, my life was a train wreck and God rescued me. That's a beautiful thing. But you know, it's equally powerful to never be the train wreck. Hello? Sometimes we minimize that, but the truth is it's very powerful when we look at how God has worked in our lives and the successes. But do you know that everything about your story, the Bible teaches this, that you're supposed to pass it on. Everything about your story, you're supposed to do what with it, church? You're supposed to pass it on. Everything about your journey is supposed, you know that the Bible actually commands you, say that with me, it commands me, to pass it on. You know, we don't really think like that very often. You're like, you want me to tell my story? Yeah, but it's got to point to God, not you. Somebody say amen. A lot of times our stories point to our sin or to something else. But listen, you have a legacy that you're leaving. Every single one of us in the room. What is your spiritual legacy? What is it? What is it that you're leaving for your kids or your future kids for some of you? You don't have a family quite yet. But what is it that you're passing on to your children and your grandchildren? You know, I'm really grateful because I have a lot of really godly people around me. Even though I was a knucklehead when I was young, I'm really grateful that I've got people of prayer, people of faith that are all around me. I'm also grateful that I raised my kids with godly values. Like, I know it's going to prevent them from doing some of the dumb things I did. Can anybody relate to this? Yeah, but at the same time, I know this. They're people who have to walk their own journey. They might make some mistakes on the way, but I know this, that our call is to pass on our faith so that we leave a spiritual legacy, a spiritual inheritance to those who are coming up behind us. You know, this is true for the nation Israel, because when we're going to look at Deuteronomy 6 in just a second, what you see is a nation who had a godly inheritance. I mean, God came to them and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. It's you and me, and you're going to be my people to the whole earth. When people see you, they're going to say their God is for them. Their God is powerful. That's what they're going to say about Israel. How did Israel handle all of that? Not very well, right? Did they make some mistakes? Have you made some mistakes? Yes. The point of this is that Israel made mistakes. So will you. But that doesn't eliminate this idea that God said, leave a what? A legacy. Leave a spiritual inheritance for those coming after you. So to understand Deuteronomy 6, you have to understand a little bit of the background. So the people of Israel, they rebel against God, and they go into captivity with the Egyptians. Now, some of you guys remember this, like the Ten Commandments, the 40 years in the wilderness. You guys remember that journey? Well, they end up under Egyptian captivity for 400 years. Listen, they were in captivity long enough to have forgotten that they were ever Jewish. Listen, America is going through some turmoil. Would y'all agree? Like, we're forgetting who we were. Would y'all agree? Like, we've lost our roots, we've lost our lineage, we're redefining history today, and so much of that is this, we're losing our roots. But don't forget about God, because even though Israel lost their roots, God still brought them back, didn't he? Yeah. Listen, even though America's doing a little bit of craziness, God will still do what? He'll bring them back around to it, because God's a faithful God. That's what he does. So they've got 400 years. Now they're arriving in the promised land. God releases them and he brings them over, and they're about to enter into this like powerful encounter of God's provision and God's direction. And we're going to step into a passage known as the Great Shema. Now, how many of you guys do a good job listening? Like two hands go up in the whole room. I love it. You guys are honest this morning. Either that or you're asleep. I'm not sure which. But the reality is listening doesn't come naturally for us. But the Great Shema is a portion of Scripture that is this. It's the great listening is literally what it translates as. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read through some verses for you and kind of break it down a little bit. And we're going to encourage moms. So my goal in this is to say, don't lose heart. Don't miss opportunities. Whatever you have done, right, wrong, good, bad, indifferent, start from here and build a godly legacy, a godly inheritance. Start to pass on something that your kids can pick up and follow after Jesus. See, this is how this starts. In Deuteronomy 6:1, it reads like this. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going and go over there to possess it." So he gives three things. He says commandments, statutes, and judgments. Now, a commandment is very simply, it's a command. It means to give charge over to. So in other words, I'm giving you authority is what God is saying to them. I'm giving you authority. I want you to walk in my commandments. Those commandments will give you authority. A statute is a little bit different. It's an ordinance. It puts limits on it. See, listen, church, I hope you guys get this. One of the biggest troubles we have in our culture today as believers is that we forget that God does have boundaries around how we should live. Am I talking to anybody right now? Hello. That there's a way that we should live. And God says, hey, here's the boundaries. How many of you guys play sports? You're running a football down the field. When you step out of bounds, you're stepping outside the limits, hello, of the field. And now you're no longer, the play is dead, right? No different with God. God says, here's the field, here's the playing field. Live in this field and you've got freedom. Step outside of this field, you get struggles. Now, come on, us older folks in the room, am I telling the truth right now? You stay in the field, life's a little easier, isn't it? You step outside of the field and you're like, ah, darn it. You know, because you get some problems when you see that. But that's what it means to have a statute. It's a limitation, a prescribed portion, a task. It means literally the boundaries around something. And he says this, I've also given you judgments. And his judgments, these things are proper, they're fitting, they're measurements. See, it's basically saying this, that God gave a prescribed way that we should all live. Now, when we're trying to lead and parent, and moms, you're trying to mother your kids, you have to understand this. God has a way, and he wants you to pass that way over to who? Your children. That's part of establishing a godly inheritance. Amen. I'm sorry, I needed a drink. My voice is already scratchy this morning. So verse 2, it goes on to say this. See, he says, so that you, your son, and your grandson. So he says, you, your son, and your grandson. How many generations are represented there? Three. Is that nuts? You, your son, and your grandson might fear the Lord. And that word fear, that's a bad translation. It's reverence, honor. Like, I grew up Catholic, so I was always afraid of God. How many of you guys were afraid of God growing up? Whoo, he's about to get me, mess up, and he's going to like zap me with a lightning bolt. That's not God. What it is this, it's saying live in a way, live your lifestyle in such a way that there's a demonstration that you honor God because of the way you behave. See, the true test of wisdom and knowledge is not how smart you are to get around things. It's how smart you are to submit to the way God wants them. Because God says that the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom. So listen, when you start to fear God, that's just the start. That's the starting line of walking with God. Am I helping you guys right now? Just the start. So if you think you're wise, it's only the starting line. A lot more to know about God. A lot more to discover about God. You, your son, your grandson, that they might fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes. How much of his statutes? All of them. And all of his commandments. How much of them? All of them. He says, listen, teach them, which I'm commanding you all the days of your life, not for a week, not for a month, not for a season, but as a pattern of life. Now watch. I want to talk to some of you parents, because your kids are watching you. Kids, you watching your parents? They're like, I'm not saying nothing. I'm going to get in trouble. The reality is this. Parents, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. None of us walk this journey of faith without making what? Mistakes. We all make mistakes. What do you do with the mistakes? Do you cover them? Do you hide them? Do you rationalize them? Do you shift them? Do you try to make excuses for them? Or do you own them? You try to learn from them. But listen, your kids are watching how you walk with both success and failure. Listen, the best thing you can ever do is model for your kids how to walk with Jesus. Don't just tell them what to do. This is free. It's Mother's Day. I love you guys. Be nice back. Moms, no mean comment cards. Listen, you can't tell your kids to not go out and drink and party and then go drink and party and think your kids are not going to drink and party. You can't tell your kids not to say foul words and then use foul words and then get mad at them when they use foul words. You can't live a lifestyle that's ungodly and expect your kids to catch faith. It's not how it works. He said, I want you to walk in all my statutes, all my commandments, which means this, when you make a mistake, and you will make a mistake, somebody say amen, what do you do with the mistake? You repent. And sometimes you even go to your kids and say, I'm sorry, I mishandled this. I've done this with my kids, where I go back to them, I say, you know, truth is I made a mistake here and that's why this happened. And I'm sorry that it affected you. That's part of walking with God. It doesn't say do it perfect all the time, but when you do make a mistake, he does say own it. Do the right thing with that mistake. See, this is called generational inheritance or legacy. You're given it not only for yourself, your sons and your grandchildren. So listen, moms, I love you. Do you have any idea how much power you have? Yeah, listen, he's like, Steve, sit down. But in all reality, moms, do you realize how much power you have to influence your children? Do you realize how much power you have to stay true to godliness when your kids are trying to talk you out of it? Ever had your kids try to talk you out of it? It goes like this. Oh, come on, mom. Everybody's going to be there. I know some kids are doing things that you don't approve of, but it's not really that. I don't do those things. Hello, you guys, some of you are laughing right now because you know I'm telling you, I'm just told on y'all. It happens in my home too. I got young people. Hey, Dad, can I go dancing? Don't you work till midnight? Yeah, I'm not letting you go out at midnight. Are you nuts? I don't know. In my world, nothing good happens after. And I don't know. You guys aren't old enough, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. So he's sitting back there laughing. He's listening right now. But he looks good. He's got a tie on. I'm just saying. You know, the reality is this, that we're called to impart something to them. And the way that we model that and what we approve or disapprove of is really, really important. Listen, he commands these things. Anytime, I don't know about you, but when I hear this idea of commands, don't you just think like, oh, man. Like, I don't, this is lame. This is that whole religion thing. Anybody else? Are you guys awake this morning? You're bugging me. No one's talking to me. You guys are like, what the heck, man? Like, come on, you guys got to interact with me some. This is a monologue dialogue, okay? You guys got to like laugh, shake your heads, interact. Don't you hate rules? Come on, every single one of us in the room. If the speed limit says 55, you're going to go 60 just because. How fat? Watch this. I love this. I was in traffic school. This was a question. I bet you all have asked the same question. The cop, how fast can I go before you notice me? I'm dead serious. Somebody asked that. Speed limit's 55. The cop, God bless me, answered. You can go to about 64 and I'll not even pay attention to you. You hit 65 though, I'm pulling you over. He said that actually in the class. Now I've gotten tickets. Anyways, no, let's keep going. I got one in Utah. It was bad. I was going really fast. I wasn't paying attention. Okay, so is God a God of love? Yes. So we love our children, so we give them rules and commands. Yes. Keep them safe. Yes. Okay, that's the same thing with God. When God says, hey, this isn't about religion. This is about love. This is about him saying, I have a way for you to do life, and this isn't good for you. So this is about love. It's not about religion. You see, and then verse 3, he goes on, he says, oh, Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it. That's obedience. So listen, listening and obedience, those two things, they go hand in hand. He says that it may be well with you. Listen to the reward. If you listen and you're careful to do it, it'll be well with you and you'll multiply greatly. And just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey, which is a picture of prosperity. How many of you want to be prosperous? Oh, come on, all of us do. We all want to have a comfortable life, make good money. We want our kids to be in check. We want things good. God says, honor me. Honor me, and I'll bless you. See, here's the trouble with our culture. We want the blessing without obedience. We don't want to obey. Let's listen. How many of your kids want something that they didn't earn? My kids always want something they didn't earn. All the time. All the time. That's just being a kid. So listen, our job, not only with our children, but before God, is this. God, I want to honor you with my life by obeying the way you ask me to live. I don't want to compromise, not a little bit, not a lot. I want to live in a way that my children can see the legacy and they can follow it. I want prosperity, I want blessing, and I want to get that because I honor you, not because I try to get around the edges. See, this whole idea of the great Shema, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." He's saying, "Hear, listen." Now, it's kind of interesting. Like, I know with my kids, I'm using my kids a lot this morning. I love them very much. I have great kids. I really do have amazing kids. I'm not just bragging on them because they're mine. They're better than yours, though. I'm just saying. But I do really have great kids. But the other day, I wanted the dishes done. And one of my three kids is the worst at getting her chores done. I mean, she's not bad. She's the worst. Like, she's bad at it. So I said, hey, and I won't say her name, Bella. I said, hey, Bella. No, I'm playing. But I said, Bella, go do the dishes. And she said, uh-huh. Watch, the difference between hearing and listening, okay? So she definitely heard me, but her uh-huh and her lack of movement meant she wasn't what? She wasn't listening. So watch, this is what I did, because I'm a smart parent. Say, you're smart, Pastor, come on. I walked in the room and I said, hey, Bella, let me have your phone. She goes, what? What did I do? I said, you didn't do nothing. I took her phone. I said, go do the dishes. As soon as you're done with the dishes, you can have the phone back. That way I know that you what? You listen to me. That's all. See, in Jewish culture, when God said something, obedience went with it. It wasn't a negotiation. It wasn't if you feel like it. It was go do the dishes and do them when? Right now. And so Bella, God bless you, comes back and says, Daddy, can I have my phone so that I can listen to some music while I'm doing the dishes? So she got her headphones in. Then she wasn't listening to me at all. Anyway, so, but she did get everything done. But that is in part a picture of us. God says, I want you to do this thing. And our response should be what? Yes. And when we do that, listen, when we obey God, it allows our children to then follow it. It allows our children to watch and go, oh, I don't really like this, but that's what God said to do, so I should do it. I'd rather do this, but this is what I'm committed to, so I should do it. See, when we model that kind of lifestyle, our kids are able to follow it. Does this make sense, church? So he says this, listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. He's just one God. He's not five gods. He's not 10 gods. He is one God. And that's super important because in this culture, most of the culture is saying this, there's many roads that lead to who? God. Lots of ways to get there. I don't want to worship God the way you do because yours is old school. Let me help you young people. Us old school people actually do have a clue on most things. Not just saying that to be arrogant, and I'm not trying to side with your parents. I'm just saying we've done a lot of dumb things. You should learn from us. You really should. It's not just because we're telling you what to do, but we've actually touched the pan and it's hot. You don't need to touch it to figure out it's hot. You get what I'm saying? See, this is part of the journey of faith, though. That he says, listen, there's one way. There's not multiple ways. There's not 100 ways. There's one God. And when we model living for that one God, they can follow the model. They can follow the model. Listen, they might waver a little bit. How many of you guys wavered? My parents lived a model. I wavered. Sometimes I wavered like a weeble wobble tipping over, man. I'm serious. I wavered. But the reality is this. Because of their model, I was able to come back. I knew what it meant to get right and repent. I knew those things because they modeled it for me. Listen, you have that same power, moms, to model that for your kids. It doesn't say be perfect. It says when God corrects you and says do this thing, it says walk in it. Then your kids can follow it. They can watch you and they can see it and they can grow from it. See, all of this is about God bringing freedom into our lives. It's not about restriction. It's not about religion. It's not about rules. Listen, I know that we put down rules in our households. Imagine how many of you guys put down rules in your households. Come on. Yeah, so that people know what the expectations are. But the reality is the rules only work when everybody in it have buy-in. So telling somebody to do something you don't do will often make them as dissatisfied with anything you're asking. It's like, it's a double standard. It's hypocritical when we don't live what we ask of our kids. This makes sense? I know I'm kind of harping on it a little bit. I don't mean to harp on it, but I think it's so important that we understand the power that we have. One is moms, but two is parents. Just a model for those behind us. So in this, hear, O Israel, listen, obey, God is one. He goes on to say this, you shall love the Lord your God, verse 5, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your might. So listen, he's saying the entirety of your being should be committed over to God. Everything you do, your work should be committed to who? God. Your marriage should be committed to who? God. Your parenting should be committed to who? The way you think should be committed to who? All of it, everything you do. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is the center of your being. You know that if your heart's wacky, that you'll behave wacky? No, this is the truth. As you believe in your heart, you become. If you believe bad, if you think bad, you will behave bad. You ever get around a kid who thinks he's stupid? Can't do that, I'm too stupid. Why do you think you're stupid? Because all my teachers told me I'm stupid. I hate that stuff. I've done it myself. I've said things to my kids. I'm like, just shut up. Just encourage them. I'm like, I'm hard. I know it's, but listen, we've got to learn better to encourage them and point them in a direction that helps them see God's possibility in them. Amen? That's part of parenting. He says, love them with your heart, the center of your being, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, all given over to God. And with all your strength, your energy should be put to giving it to God. Listen, if God's the center, everything else falls in line. Your whole life's surrendered. This is part of living for Him. See, this is such an important concept that Jesus quoted it. Now, you know that if Jesus quotes it, it's important. Okay, that's like one, this, that's right. The rest of y'all, you know if Jesus quoted it, it's what? It's important. If it's in the Bible, it's what? It's important. It's valuable. Jesus quoted it when he said, hey, what's the greatest of all the commands? Jesus said, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and he adds strength to it. In other words, the entirety of your being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, he says, give everything you've got to God. So that's just one of them. The writer of Hebrews cites it. He says, for this is the covenant in chapter 12, verse 10, that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds. And I'll write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And they'll know me, they'll follow me from the least to the greatest. I'll be merciful to their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. Man, I'll tell you what, it is so important for us to live a lifestyle of getting mercy and grace from God. I don't know, I mess up all the time. Anybody else in the room with me? I'm not saying, yes, Pastor, you mess up, but yes, I mess up. Get what I'm saying? I know I mess up. You're like, I've seen you mess up, Pastor. I'm just being honest, though. In all sincerity, we all make mistakes. But when we understand that we're in covenant with the God who will forgive our iniquities and our transgressions, and then we model that for our kids, we walk in a way that's not full of shame and failure, but we walk in a way full of repentance and restoration and forgiveness. Our kids follow that. Does this make sense, church? Listen, it is so important that... I've had the privilege of ministering in the youth ministry often. There was a season where Matt wasn't around, and prior to Russell, I was actually the youth guy as well. I ran the youth meetings, and I love kids. I love young adults. I love being able to answer questions. I love getting to shape thought. I love being able to help them think differently about their life, about maybe what God is saying to them. This is so, like, I understand this, that if I can get somebody to think how God thinks about them at 13, that's way easier than when they're 23 or 33. And they've done a few things. You get what I'm saying? It's easier to get them convinced that God is for them when they're just young. And I know that there were times that I sat in there and I would watch the kid, and so often I would watch a kid just grabbing for something that looked like mercy or grace. I would watch them strain to just get something that had a sense of hope in it. And I would always sit back and go, oh man, I wish that the parents understood how important it was for them to live in a way that their kids could follow it. Now, that's not a statement of judgment. I've made the same mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's evident when it's not being done. It's evident. Listen, the level of anxiety and just depression and hopelessness in our culture, well, it is, we are the most medicated culture in the world, you guys. Americans are the most medicated. Listen, if you're taking medicine, don't take that as a slam. Use the medicine if it settles you down, but draw into God. Ultimately, that's where you need to be. But when I watch that, I just kind of sit back and I go, we have stopped honoring God, and now we medicated instead of drawing into his peace. Gosh, this is not a nice Mother's Day message. Let's move on. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be, but I'm just trying to help y'all. I really am. That as you model a lifestyle that honors God, the kids can follow it. They won't be perfect the same way you're not. But when you repent and you walk with God, it allows them to do the exact same thing. Man, it's so important that we do this. He goes on in Deuteronomy 6, verses 8 and 9. He says this about the commands, the statutes, the law of God. He says, you should bind them as a sign on your hand and on the frontals of your forehead and on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So in other words, everywhere you go, there should be stuff that says, I belong to God. This place belongs to God. It all comes from God. It should all be dedicated. It's very much a Joshua thing. For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Like, everybody has to make a decision about what they'll do with what God's entrusted to them. Not only your stuff, your home, your things, but your kids, yourself, your marriage, all of those things. You have to make a decision. How will we walk with God? What will we do to honor him? And those are so important because they follow it. See, listen, how easy is it to get tied up in religion? You know, this whole bind it on your wrist and on the frontals. I went to Israel a few years ago, and when you get with the really traditional, like the ascetic Jews, they're all over the place. You go to the Wailing Wall. Like, how many of you guys ever seen this on TV or ever been there? Most of you not been there. Okay, so there's the prayer wall, the west wall, which is the closest spot to where the Temple Mount is. That's why people pray there. Now, the Temple Mount's held by Islamic control, but the Jews still want to get as close as they can to the presence of God. So they go and they tuck prayers in the walls. Well, while you're there, you see all sorts of people. Like, you see people with the ringlets, like they never shave or cut their hair, and they have these little boxes on their hands, and the boxes have scriptures in them. Some of them will have the entire, like, Pentateuch or the entire Torah, little teeny weeny weeny writing, and it's stuffed in a little box. It comes from this scripture. Put it on your hand and stick it on. You'll see them. They'll strap stuff on their head. It looks like a headband with a box, not playing. And you're like, okay, does that make you closer to God?
No.
Is that what God was talking about?
No.
Okay, I got two no's. Can I get a couple of yet? No, I mean, is that what he was talking about?
No,
well, that's not what he was talking about. He was saying this, live your life in a way that they can see it. Live your life in a way that they can know that your home is committed to God, that they're committed to God, that you're not going to accept anything that's outside of that. You know, he says, bind it. Listen, can I share something with you? This is just a little, like, we'll call it a principle, a little saying. If you don't bind the word of God to yourself, you will be bound in this world. That's how it works. If you don't attach yourself to the things of God, you will attach yourselves to the things of the world, and you'll get stuck. It's just unfortunately true. But when you attach yourself to God, you're now bound to him. You're now drawn to him. So when the things of the world try to pull you away, you're actually, in a very real sense, you're tied to him. That's a good thing, by the way. You want to be tied to God that way. He says, listen, as you're thinking about these principles, put them all over the place. Like, my wife teases me all the time. I made this comment once, and it's true about our own home. Like, when you go into a place, I love seeing signs on the wall, like scriptures on the wall. I love seeing that stuff because it says this to me, this house honors Jesus. Now, sometimes a sign on the wall doesn't mean anything, amen? They just went to Hobby Lobby and thought it was cool looking. I'm just saying. But if you live that sign on the wall, that's a powerful testimony of your life and your commitment. And that is actually what he's talking about. Like, this idea of phylacteries, like, it translates back all the way pre-Jesus, like 400 or 500 years before Jesus. These guys started doing this, thinking that it was religious devotion, never what God asked. Jesus said of this practice, he said, but they do all these deeds to be noticed by men. This is what Jesus says about this. For they broaden their phylacteries, which are the little boxes that you stick, and they lengthen the tassels on their garments. Like, look at me, look at how holy I am. Don't do that. Just live a lifestyle committed to God so that your kids can follow it. It's about generational inheritance. It's about passing it on. Listen, moms, I want to encourage you. Be courageous. Be courageous. Don't give up the battle. Moms, look at me. Don't give up the battle. Don't give up the battle. Don't lose heart. Don't think, oh my gosh, my kid, he's pushing back. He's fighting with me. He doesn't want to listen. He's getting into trouble. He's drinking. He's doing drugs. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give up. By the way, don't go party with them either. Just saying, that's not smart. But don't give up. Moms, by show of hands, does it take courage to parent a child today? Oh, come on. You know it does. You know you're going to face everything that the world throws at them. You know, when I sat with somebody, a prominent spiritual leader in the community, he said to me, I would not put my kids in public education. That was his comment. And he's interacting with, and by the way, if you're a school teacher, I love you. Keep doing your thing. Be light in darkness. I love y'all. That's not what I'm saying. But he said, man, the amount of worldly philosophy that is on the campuses today is overwhelming the young people. What you're seeing is even in the Christian campuses, you're seeing this. You're seeing schools like APU start to roll over. You're seeing schools start to roll over with the homosexual agenda and different things that are pressuring them. Listen, this is all coming out of this idea that we can all just live at peace together. When God said this, honor my statutes, my ways, follow me. And if we don't, as the Christian community, stand up and say, we're not okay with that, then they'll just keep doing whatever. So as a little example, this goes back to when my kids were in elementary school. They're not in public school today by God's grace. Somebody sponsored my kids to go to a private school. It's amazing. Well, when they were in public school, the whole dual bathroom thing started to roll out. I sat down with the principal and I said, I need to know that you will communicate with me if there's a kid on this campus that is questioning his sexual identity and he's going to be in the girls' room and he's a little boy with my daughter. I want to know that. And she kind of hummed all around it because they're not supposed to reveal the kids. And I said, well, listen, if he's going to stand in the girls' room, either that or I'm taking my kid out. I said, I need to know that when I send my kid to school, they're safe. Just need to know they're safe. I need to know that that's going to happen. And she assured, and there wasn't anything happening. It was at the front end of this a few years ago. Listen, you should be standing up for your kids. You should be standing up against wickedness. Do it thoughtfully. Do it with honor. But you should still what? Should still do it. Okay, so, man, it's like, okay, so let's keep going. Listen, he goes on to say this. And actually, I want to read this from verses 10. On, and then we're going to wrap up and pray for the moms. So I only have a few minutes left. I need eyes, though. I can't see that well. It's really sad. I'm getting older, you guys. I used to be able to read my Bible. I can't do it anymore without something on my face. And verse 10, he says, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a great and splendid cities which you didn't build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you didn't dig. In other words, God is going to bless you because you honored him, is what he's saying. Vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant, and you will eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourself. What does he say? Watch yourself that you don't forget the Lord. Oh, this is so important, church, because sometimes we work really hard to get promotions and to get good jobs, and then we stop going to church and honoring God. He's saying, don't do that. That's basically a modern translation. He said, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who basically brought you out of the worldly way and out of a house of slavery. And he says, you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. So don't let the things go to the wayside. Like, keep your heart centered on the things of God. Does this make sense? Yes. Now, so much of it for us is making little adjustments. Say little adjustment. Say, Pastor, I'm just going to make a little adjustment. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak to me this week, and I'm going to make a little adjustment. Because if you make a big adjustment, you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to freak out. They will. If you like, let me give you an example of a big adjustment. Let's say you got every channel under the sun on your cable, and you let your kids watch whatever, and then you decide to go home today and go, you don't get to watch any of that. But you've never, ever taught them anything. You're going to go, you're going to have them freaking out on you. You guys all understand that. So it's smarter for you to do this. Let's talk. Let's talk about what God values and what mom and dad think we should start to do in our home as a value. Does this make sense? So you start to shift the culture just little by little and get them to the place where they understand that this is God leading you and you're obeying. Get what I'm saying? This is so important for your kids. And when your kids start to ask you and they say, why the heck are we doing all this? You ever had your kids ask you, like, why do we do this? My kids do this. How come we have to go to church today? Because I'm the pastor. No, that's not why. No, that's not why. Because we honor Jesus. That's why. Because worship is a lifestyle for us. That's why. That's honestly why. Like, my kids have asked this question, and it's not because I'm the pastor here. It's because our lifestyle is one of worship. We were called to worship God with our lives. This makes sense, church. So that's why we go to church. But watch, how about if you added this to your answer? How many of you guys remember where you were before Jesus found you? Come on, talk to me. Remember where? Some of you are like, I'm still there, pastor, still working it out a little. It's okay. Jesus ain't done with me either yet, okay? So listen, if you're working it out, if you remember where you've come from, this is what it says, verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come saying, what do these testimonies and statutes and judgments mean, which the Lord your God is commanding you? In other words, why are we doing these things? It doesn't make sense to me totally. Why do we do them? Then you shall say to your son, when we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, maybe for some of you it'll sound like this. When I was a slave to alcohol and stuck in the world, when I was a slave to drug and I was stuck in the world, when I was a slave to sex and I was stuck in the world, when I was a slave to you name it and I was stuck in the world, and the Lord brought us out of the world with his mighty hand. That's what you're going to say to them. Why are we making these changes? Because it honors God. Why are we making these changes? Because I used to be a slave, and I'm not one anymore. He says, and the moreover, the Lord showed distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt. Now, I got to be honest, they had a little bit of the miracles going on, like the plagues and the different things that God did. So I don't know about you, but that would have freaked me out a little if I saw that kind of stuff. And that's what he's talking about. He says, listen, these are great signs, distressing signs. He said, he brought us up out of there in order to bring us in. Remember, God brought you out to bring you where? In. He didn't just take you out of something and said, oh, now, you know, I made your life all boring. There's nothing good about it. You know how many unbelievers I've had say to me over the years, I don't want to become a Christian because it's boring. You guys don't get to have any what? Come on, some of you young people are smiling right now. It's true, Pastor. Like, I like drinking. You know what I did too? I didn't like the hangovers. I didn't like not knowing where my car was. I didn't like jail. I didn't like lots of things. But the reality is this, that sin is tempting for a season until it hooks you. Yeah. I got to tell this story, and then I'm going to pray for moms. I was in school. This is a number of years back. And some of you may have heard this story before, told it before, but it's been years. And I had an English professor who was really, it was as liberal as they get. Actually, by today's standards, he'd be conservative, is the truth. But he was pretty liberal in the day. It was when I was young. I'm still young, right? Oh, yeah. Okay, that was the older people than me anyways. I'm in school, and this guy says, you should have the freedom to do anything you want. How many of you guys think you should have the freedom to do anything you want? No, don't raise your hand. And he goes, I'm in class. I'm about 30. I'm in my 50s now, so it's a long time ago. I was about 30 in the class, and there's all these young people like, yeah, we should be able to do whatever we want. And he's like, marijuana should be legalized. Yeah, we should be able to do it. The kids are on board. I'm serious. I'm not playing when I say this. Like, all the kids are like, yeah, the drinking age shouldn't be 21, all these 18-year-olds. We should be able to drink whenever we want. They're arguing. They're agreeing with the professor. And the professor goes on to tell this really sordid story of this friend of his who was all into LSD. Like, he has the freedom to do LSD, and he can take it. And so he's just going to the class like, yeah, I mean, he's got the kids are on the bandwagon. And so I'm the only person, like, who had any smarts in the whole room, I swear. And so I finally raised my hand, and I said, hey, I have a question for you. He goes, yeah. I said, is your friend an addict? I'm dead serious. I asked this question. I said, is your friend an addict? He's all, I said, can he choose not to do LSD now? He goes, well, he's kind of stuck in, and I said, then he's not actually free to do anything, is he? That's right. If he's an addict, he's not what?
Free.
Not free. Yeah, he might have the freedom to choose sin, but once you have the freedom to choose sin, you are what? Bound. You're slave to it. You're no longer free. So you're like, wow, LSD, we're good, Pastor. None of us are doing LSD. That's good. I hope you're not. Reality is this, though. There's probably lots of places where there's little compromises where God is saying, hey, stop that. because it's making it hard for those behind you to follow. Does this make sense? See, listen, when you get brought into the place where you feel established and secure with Jesus and your kids start going, why do we do this stuff? You can ask my son, Dad, why do we do some of the things? How come we don't go to some of the places that other people go? He's asked me this. How come you don't do some of the things I see other people do? And I sit him down and I tell him, son, you hear the good stories about all of my stupidness. You know, I tell him the stories, dumb things I've done, Mexico, various places. I tell him the funny parts of it. He's like, wow, you did that. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't tell you the other parts. The parts where I was stuck, the parts where I was bound, the parts where I didn't have friends or people who actually, I wasn't connected to God, or the parts where I was literally entrenched and bound, enslaved to drugs. I don't tell you that. Because that part's not funny or pretty. It's not pretty. It's just bondage is all it is. But I'll tell them some of the crazy stories to tell them this. And God set me free from that. Like, I used to be this guy, and God set me free. I used to be the guy who dealt drugs, and God set me free. I used to sit at bars all the time and drink, and then I'd wake up with hangovers, and I'd spend way too much money, and then God set me free. That's what I do with my kids, because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. So all of us, moms, I know it's Mother's Day, so moms especially, you are charged with the power to influence your kids in a way that points them straight to God. That is your gift from God. Like, I know you love your babies. How many moms? Come on, do you love your babies? Talk to me. Do you love your babies? Are your babies better than my babies, moms? Come on. Yeah, every mom thinks their kid's the best. That's part of being a what? A mom. Listen, you have the power to shape your kid's destiny. That's what God entrusted to you. And that's why it is so important for us to use our freedoms with Christ to shape a godly culture and foundation in our homes so that our kids can easily follow our example. Does this make sense? Yeah. So listen, are you a mom in the room? Raise your hand. Mom in the room, raise your hand. Okay, if you're a mom in the room, stand up right now. Because I know this, that moms in the room need a little love, don't they? Okay, that was like two of you. You guys are terrible. Moms need love, don't they? Moms need encouragement, don't they? Moms need the favor of God, don't they? Moms need to be empowered, believed in, hoped for. Listen, if you're around them, if you're the husband of a wife who's standing or a friend of somebody standing, put a hand on them. Put a hand on them. We're going to pray for them right now, because this is what I know, that when we talk about stuff like this, it goes through us at lots of layers. For some of you, it goes through you with a sense of frustration, sense of shame, maybe even guilt. Maybe you made some mistakes. That always happens. You know, I'm a pretty good dad, but you know, anytime I think about being a dad, I always think about the stupid things I did, not the good ones. It's human nature. But the reality is this, whatever you've done, you can bow your heart before God and start honoring God with the whole package. You honor God with the whole package, your kids see the transforming of God in your life and they follow it. And that is an amazing and a powerful thing. But listen, I know this, you need courage. I know this, you need to be brave in a culture that's telling you to just cower to it. I know this, you need the fortitude of God, you need the Spirit of God to rest on you so you don't just waver with the wind when it blows, because it's going to blow. I know this, that you need somebody to believe in you and to remind you that God charged you with this, and it's a great and humbling responsibility, but it comes from God. And He wants to empower you to be the best mom that you could potentially be. Amen. He wants to lead you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to teach you to be a person to walk in grace and mercy, not only with yourself, but with your children. And listen, especially for you moms who have kids that are struggling, He wants your kids saved more than you want your kids saved. Amen. He wants your kids in love with Him more than you want them in love with Him. So I want to pray for you this morning that you would go out encouraged, empowered, not losing the fight of faith with your family members. So Father, and you can just agree with me, church, Father, we want to pray for the moms. Whew, what an amazing thing that you've entrusted to them. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom, supernatural wisdom. God, I know this, and I want to speak it over them, that you've given them an anointing from you, the power, the insight from you to know their own children and to lead them in a way that helps them to find God. God, I pray that you'd give the moms that need to be strong with some of their children the strength and the courage to be strong. I pray for the moms who need to be more gracious and merciful, the ability to be gracious and merciful with their children. God, I pray that you would give them everything they need to be the parent that they need to be, whether their kids are 2 months old, like little Evan, or they're adults and they're living their own life, that they would be able to be models of grace and mercy and goodness. So God, I pray that you'd lift their heads today. I pray that as they go out to eat food, to go to brunches, to go hang out and barbecue, I've heard a variety of different stories from different moms saying, this is what we're doing. I pray in all of this that you would bless them, that today that they would be able to take a moment, look around the room and look at their own children and just really be, just marvel and be humbled by the fact that you gave those children to them, that you gave them to them and you said, hey, these are for you. Now just do the best you can and point them back toward me. God, give them the ability to do that. So God, I pray today would be a day of laughter, one of fun, one of too much food, but skinny diet food. Yeah, don't want anything going to their waist, God. And we pray that they would enjoy their day. And God, I do pray for an uplifting of the hearts in the room that are heavy because maybe they're not in communion with their kids. Maybe there's a struggle going on. God, I pray that you would make ways in that, that you would reconnect the lines, that you would establish communication, and that you would just be the God who brings things back together. So God, we commit the moms here, and we commit them to your care, to your trust, to your faithfulness. As they go today, I pray that they would go just empowered, filled up, that you would remind them today, God, I know that this might have been more direct on a Mother's Day, but just to say, don't forget the authority and the power that God has given you with your children. Now go out and love them passionately for Jesus and let them follow you in your walk with Jesus. So God, grace them, bless them, and be with them in all things today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, can we give it up for the mamas? Thank you, Lord. All right, well, the Lord bless you and keep you. Have an amazing Mother's Day. Go eat too much food. Ladies, eat dessert twice. Amen? Amen. Guys, have a great day. God bless you. Chains undone.